And Sally, this morning during pre-service prayer that we have at 9:20, she brought that up again. I think it was the Holy Spirit saying, we've got to have his encouragement. We've got to encourage one another. So as you're standing for truth, the youth is now released into their service. I'm sorry about that. You should have shot me with a rubber band a long time ago. Father, thank you for the youth. Sorry about that, David. Don't you love the youth? God is doing something in our youth. That's a fact. He is. Amen. So when I was talking about David, part one, week one, I was talking about Saul, man's choice. But David was God's choice. Do you remember that, if you were here? Part two, I wrote, David defeats Goliath. Israel focused on the natural, this big fella, 9'9". But David, he focused on the supernatural. He saw God's victory even before it happened. Part three, Jonathan was an encourager to David. We talked about how God made sure when David entered, it was going to enter into a season in his life where the enemy was going to try to take him out, the enemy was going to try to take him out, that God sent Jonathan to David as an encourager to encourage him before he even entered that season. God, right now, I believe the church is in a time where we need to remain in encouragement. If we're not encouraging one another, so many people now are becoming discouraged. Make sure you're focused on encouragement. As you're standing for truth, just remind yourself, who is truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Remind you as well that they killed Jesus, and many people turned on Jesus because he didn't do what they thought he should do as far as his kingdom, bringing his kingdom to the earth. He came to die. They wanted him to, what? Get rid of Rome. So let's make sure that as we're standing for truth, that we're standing on people coming to eternal salvation. People need the Lord. Amen? And then today, part four, a king that was divinely protected and hearing God during trouble. So many times people during trouble or difficult times, they don't think they can hear the Lord. Or they've heard things in the past like, well, heaven is brass. I'm not hearing from the Lord right now. Or God's trying to teach me something, so I'm not hearing from him. I'm here to tell you, that's not even scriptural. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always wanting to speak to us. That is not biblical at all to think that there's iron gates and brass heaven and he can't hear me. You think about that. What kind of God would that be? He's always wanting to communicate with us. If his Holy Spirit lives in us and we're seated with him by the Father, as it says in Colossians 3, if we're seated in the heavenly places with him, how is it that there would be brass heavens? So during the time, even in the trouble or struggle, the Lord is always wanting to communicate with you and I. Keep that in mind, no matter what's going on in our lives, he's always wanting to communicate with us. Revelations 1, 5, and 6. I may go through some of these quickly. John, thank you for your help. And from Jesus Christ, Revelations 1, 5, and 6 in the King James Version, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yeah. Remind yourself today, you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're not, you can be today. Verse 6, and hath made made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as I had read that scripture, and it came to my mind about King David and how he was a king. Now, we're not kings in the earthly sense as far as over a country or whatever. We're not that sense, but unto Jesus it says we're kings and priests. We'll rule and reign with him forever, but he's given dominion and things within our lives that we can operate in his authority. Kings and priests. Do you look at yourself as a king or a priest or a queen of God? Amen. Think about that. Not just going to heaven, but a king and a priest unto our God. I love this scripture, Proverbs 25, 2 through 5, John. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. That's you and I, to search out a matter. Not just talking about King David. This is not talking about just Solomon. This is talking about you and I searching out something, because we are kings and priests. searching out His Word as He reveals Himself to us. It's His desire. It's His desire to speak to us. It's His desire to lead us. It's His desire to encourage us. It's His desire to have to be full of His joy and His strength. It's His desire that we would walk in His rest. Verse 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Man, only God really knows you. All that He created you, just how the body works, we don't even quite understand. How your brain works better than any size of computer there is in the world. Everything that God, how He made us between our emotions and our feelings and our mind, and then the spirit that He put in us, the Holy Ghost spirit that's in us, that's unsearchable. It can't be explained. You can search all you want. You'd never figure it out. It's only God, a revelation, as God reveals things to you. He's the one that reveals things to you. Unsearchable. Verse 4, take away the impurities from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. Did you know He was removed? If you know Jesus Christ, He's removed your sins. He's removed the impurities. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? This scripture here, Proverbs, is talking about you and I, brother and sister. Verse 5 says, take away the wicked before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Who's established in righteousness? We are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. We are established in His righteousness. Amen? Making us in a place as kings and priests. And knowing all of this, because all of a sudden, and we talked about David being encouraged. David had become anointed, remember, anointed king. But the years, it was 13 to 15 years before he actually took the throne. At this point, David was on the run from the enemy, on the run from the king. That's the king at that time. The government at that time was saying, you're going to die, David. 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 7. Now David told, or 1 through 2, I'm sorry, I think it's just 1 through 2. Now Saul told his son Jonathan and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan informed David, saying, my father Saul is seeking to put you to death, David. Now then, please be on your guard in the morning and stay in a hiding place and conceal yourself. You think about David, what he was going through. To be honest, maybe people even right now in Afghanistan understand what that's like. There's a government, a Taliban, somebody who's an anti-God, who has a form of religion that wants to take you out. That's where David was right now. As the religious Saul, who was very religious, said, I'm going to kill you, David. Who actually had a demon, an assignment against him from hell to take him out because he knew the purpose of God. Just like you and I, the enemy coming against you so that you can't perform or do anything that God has made you or purpose. The enemy comes against you to do that. To get you to give up or to quit or to focus on anything else but what God has for you. It can be on good things. It can be good things. But if he can get his focus on off of what God has for you, that's part of his plan. So this thing with David, Satan knowing God had a purpose for David, had an assignment against him. And so we find David who's on the run. 1 Samuel 19, 8 through 11 says, Then there was war again. David went out and fought the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter so that they fled from him. Verse 9, now there was an evil, so he just defeated the enemy. He was going about still defeating the enemy even when he knew that Saul was after him. So this kind of comes back a little bit, and this is where Jonathan had said, told his dad, saying, hey, why are you trying to kill David? He killed the giant. Look what he's done for Israel. And so he brought him back into his palace again, and he would lead worship in his palace. When this evil spirit would come upon Saul, he would play an instrument, and it would soothe Saul. And so going back to where he was with Saul, and then finally he's driven out and never comes back to Saul again, as he then turns on, Saul turns on David 100% and says, I'm going to kill David. So verse 9 says, now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. And David is playing the harp with his hand.
And Saul, verse 10, tried to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he escaped from Saul's presence, so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Then Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him in order to put him to death in the morning. So this several times David had gone before Saul and played this instrument, and several times Saul had tried to pin him to the wall and kill him. And still David's heart, when Saul would say, "I'm sorry," he would come back. And he would serve Saul again. And finally he was drove from Saul's house and couldn't come back. The enemy was coming after David. As I mentioned, it was 13 to 15 years from the time David was anointed until he became king. That process where God was working in his life and the enemy was doing all he could to try to derail that. Aren't you glad that no matter what Satan brings against you and I, he can't derail us unless we believe him, or if he can convince us that it's God's doing? Just think if David had believed that God was doing this to him, he would have given up. I'm going to tell you, things that you face in your life, God's not doing it to you. It's the enemy trying to sift you. Jesus had said to Peter, "Satan is trying to sift you, but I'm praying for you. Stand. You're going to come back, Peter. You're going to go out and weep. You're going to say, 'Why did I do the things I did?' But I'm still here." Aren't you glad he's still there? Aren't you glad that no matter what's going on in this country right now, he is there for people that believe in him? That he's still saying, "Come, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And that's what he's saying to you and I today. That's what he's saying to the nations. The nations that would plan against him. He laughs at that. Just the things that we see once again in Afghanistan. I'm believing that God is going to have a major revival breakout there. People coming to Christ. Don't you believe it? Amen. God was forming David into a leader in the middle of that trial. In the middle of that trial. It was interesting. God gave him a group of people. David, a group of people. And you would think he would give him a group of people that were well-trained, knowledgeable, mature, right? People that could be a help to David, right? A group of men that were courageous. A group of men that he could put in places and say, "Hey, oh, you can help me in this area. You can help me in that area." But what kind of people did God bring to David? Look at 1 Samuel 22:2. "Then everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him," to David. "And he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him." Wow. What a lively bunch. I mean, that's the kind of bunch that you sleep with one eye open. Right? See, this was distressed bunch, meaning extremely anxious, full of anxiety, full of sorrow or pain. That's the type of people that came to David. They were in debt. Something is owed or due. They're being chased. They're wanted. There's a knock at their door. "Your mortgage is due. You owe money on that donkey." So they said, "Hey, we got to get out of Dodge." They find themselves with David. They were dissatisfied, especially with one's circumstances. So we've got quite a group. It reminds me of the group that followed Jesus. Mark 6:34 in the New American Standard says, "The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities." They recognized Jesus and his disciples and got there ahead of them. "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." The same type of people discouraged. So many people out there discouraged today.
So many people that need something. You know, religion won't allow those type of people near them. They won't. Because they're said that they don't have anything to offer me. They don't have anything to offer my ministry. They can't help me. But the truth of the matter is, those are the ones that desperately needed the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David, who is a son of David, the people that came to David, as we'll read in the weeks to come, became his mighty warriors. They killed giants, other giants. Goliath was just one of several giants. The people that followed David became strong in him and killed other giants. There was a giant with six fingers and toes. And it wasn't David, it was one of those guys that followed him that came and killed that giant. Saw the distressed people. So don't look at the crowds or the people. Look, just see that what the potential of people. The people that are coming to the Lord that are dissatisfied with the government, dissatisfied religion, dissatisfied with schools are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because only He can truly make us whole. Amen? The government can't make you whole anyway. Never could. Even in a time of peace, just remember this, it never was the government. The government is we, the people, should reflect Jesus Christ. And that's only in the history of America when the government reflected Jesus Christ are we truly in prosperity and in health and in peace and in strength. Amen? Amen. When we, the people, are following Him, Jesus Christ. Jesus, God, took a nation like ours that had nothing. We weren't trained and brought them together to defeat the British. That's what God loves to do. He took the discontented, the hurting, those who said, I don't want the religion of Britain. I don't want what they have to offer. I don't know what I need exactly, but I know that I don't need that. And those are people that came to the Lord that formed this nation. We should be honoring the founders of this nation. But now we have people who said we should dishonor them. We have a nation now where we can't honor pastors, we can't honor people, we can't honor bosses. Now it's just every man after his own self. We need honor again in this country. Honoring. I'm not saying everything was done perfect, but honoring our pastors, honoring the founders of this nation. That's when the blessing flows, is through that honor. Honoring one another. It said even in Hebrews 13 to honor the marriage bed. Husbands and wives honoring one another. I'm not saying that this nation was perfect in some of the things. I know that. But I still honor those who said, if we're going to have a nation, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. Do you still believe that? You haven't bought into a lie, have you? Or a thing called critical race theory is to dishonor everybody and anything that's an authority. God set up authority, by the way. Not to lord it over people, but it's how His blessing flows. It's how His blessing flows through the marriage of honoring one another. Through church, honoring one another, having a government set up where we honor one another. Do you love Him today? Father, teach us again about honor. I love those who honor the elderly. I learned that in this church. Teaching others, our young people, to see what it is to honor the elderly. Amen? Honor those who come before us. Honoring one another. Thank you, Father, for that. You know, David didn't allow himself to focus on the enemy. 1 Samuel 23:1-5, the Lord spoke to him. Then they informed David, saying, behold, the Philistines. And this, mind you, this is in the middle where he's being looked for by Saul. Saul has the finest soldiers in Israel hunting him. And here he has a group of, at this time, not much help. Not much help. Samuel 23:1-5, then they informed David, saying, behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? Shall I go after the enemy? His mindset could have been, hey man, I've got Saul chasing for me. I need to stay hidden. I need to stay underground. I mean, I've got the finest soldiers in all of Israel under Saul looking for me. I have a group at this time of vagabonds right now. But that's not his heart. That wasn't his heart. He inquired, verse 2, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, behold, we are fearful here in Judah. What you're saying is, man, we're already being hunted. You're thinking about somebody else's skin? Are you kidding me? We are fearful here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines? So David inquired of the Lord once more. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I am going to hand the Philistines over to you. Verse 5, then David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines, and he drove away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Isn't that amazing? His men were frightened. In the natural, they should be. We're hunted. We're not soldiers. But as David led in the power of God, which he had upon him but now lives in us, he began to teach his men how to be warriors. He taught men that were cowards how to stand up for truth. He began to display the power of God in his life. He could have said, no, once we'll worry about that, once all of this mess in the United States is cleared up, then we'll worry about the enemy. Even in the midst of what we're right now is going on, don't allow yourself not to hear the voice of God as far as walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to take down the enemy. Don't forget to tell those who need the Lord Jesus Christ about the truth, because only the truth will set you free. So David was willing in the middle of this mess of being hunted to hear the voice of God and say, okay, I'm going to go and do battle against the enemy and whip the Philistines. Not only just barely won, he took him down. Aren't you thankful that during any type of struggle in our lives that God is still willing to use us? So much of the plan of the enemy is if when you're in the middle of a struggle or that you can't perform or do anything for him. I'm telling you, that's the time you should stand up and declare his truth more than ever. That's what defeat the enemy in your life. David could have hidden, but he did not. He asked the Lord, and then the men around him said, oh, we're frightened. So he went back to the Lord and said, no, go. The Lord is always willing to keep speaking to us. Things that God has spoken to us through the years. You know what he has? He's not mad at you. He's not giving up on you. He'll speak those same things again. He'll speak them to you again. David had to go back. He wasn't sure. The people around him were so frightened. Are you sure, Lord? And they said, go. 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 Aren't you grateful? Like Jonah. The whale comes and swallows Jonah. 3 days, man. Bummer. But when he was puked back up on the shore, well, I bet he looked like, you ever wonder what he looked like? Staggering into Nineveh? The Lord said to him, go. Amen. During the storm, Lord speaking to you and I, amen. Purpose, protection. Speaking protection over other people. Showing them what it's like to stand up for truth. The people that are around us that are scared. Those who don't have anything to offer, who seem the least likely. But just speaking the truth of his love so they can stand up and say, yeah, I can do this thing. We can do this thing. I love how Hebrews 12:1, it's kind of along that same line. It says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that's you and I, us as you and I, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set out before us. Hallelujah! Are you running the race? He loves you. Run the race. He is your strength. If you get tired, it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's our strength. He's our ability. He's our purpose. He's our provision on that job. He's your provision on that job. Verse 2, looking only at Jesus. Looking only to who? Jesus.
the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Aren't you glad you haven't lost heart? Amen. Be encouraged again today. Don't lose heart. Look unto him, the author and finisher of your faith. Look unto him who gives you strength. Amen. Don't look at your ability in itself. Don't look at the odds against you in the nation. Let's look to him to bring about the victory. Amen. You know, David, he was drawing close to Christ, you and I, there should be an expectation to hear his word, to hear him leading us. There should never come out of our mouths, God, you're not speaking to me. Change your tuner. Learn through his word to just simply allow him to speak to you. Simple things. Allow him to speak to your heart. When we say things like, he's not speaking to me, that's not because of him. He desires to speak to us. And it's not that difficult. It's just, where's your focus? Are you looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? When we're looking to him, he starts speaking to us through his word. He starts speaking to us through that still, small voice. Everything that's going on right now is David, as I say it again, as David was running from the enemy, where he felt like his life was in such danger, he was still listening to the God's voice. Keep our focus on him during difficult times, personally, in the nation, in the world. David listened for the voice of God. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. You know, there was a time before David came on the scene, and even right before Samuel came on the scene, it says in 1 Samuel 3:1 through the Young's literal translation, and the youth Samuel was serving Jehovah before Eli, who was the priest, the head priest at that time, and the word of Jehovah had been precious in those days. There was no vision broken forth. It says that people weren't hearing from God. There was no vision for the country, for the nation. They weren't hearing the word of God. They had all the priests, they had all the law, they had all the religious things in place, but it says the word of God was precious during that time. And that's because they were just looking at what was going on around them. They were looking at the enemy, they were looking at the foe, and they weren't hearing anything from God. Regardless of what's going on around you, we look to him. He always wants to speak to his church. He always wants to speak to you and I directly in a relationship. Are you allowing that at this time, in this age, to have that sweet fellowship with him that brings peace and comfort? Amen. As a church, you and I need that peace and comfort during this time. I thank you. I thank the Lord that it is freely there for us. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to put some kind of steps together, 10-step program. It's just yielding to him, as Sally has said, and said, Lord, speak to my heart. Show me things from your word. Show me things that bring peace, bring comfort to my heart and to my life. We just have to ask him to receive that. Did you know that? Just ask him. At that time, there was no word from the Lord. It was dry spiritually. That's not the way. There was plenty of religion going on, but it was simply because they were looking at everything else around them. I want to read a wonderful chapter in a second here. Do you believe his word? I do too. I just want to read together a psalm that many of us know. But as we're reading this, let your heart and your mind say this. This is still true for today. This is still true for today. Can we read this together? Psalms 91. One who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my strength, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who rescues from the net of the trapper and from the deadly plague. Did you hear that? Let's stop real quick. Let's go back to 3 real quick again, if you don't mind, brother. For it is he who rescues you from the net of the trapper and from the deadly plague. Amen. Let's keep going.
Thank you. He will cover you with his pinion, his feathers. It's just kind of a symbol of him covering you. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. Whose faithfulness? His faithfulness. And he will cover you. He's the one that covers us. He's the one that covers us. Verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. Hallelujah. Verse 6, of the plague that strikes in darkness or of the destruction that devastates at noon. Amen. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. It shall not approach you. Do you believe that today? Yes. That's as fresh today as when it was written. His word endures forever. It has no limit. He is the Ancient of Days. He is from the beginning. He is to the end. He's the first and the last. He's the firstborn among many brethren. How many brethren we have here and sisters? Do you believe that today? Let your heart be at peace. If the things that we hear or we read or the things that our mind can focus on can bring such trouble, I'm not saying that to be informed, but where's your peace coming from? Who's the one that's shadowing you or covering you? Who's the one that's protecting you? Amen? Verse 9, or verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. 8, you will only look on with your eyes and see the retaliation against the wicked. Verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will happen to you. Let's stop and say that again. No evil will happen to you. A third time. No evil will happen to you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Amen. Verse 11. For he will give his angels orders concerning who? You. To protect you in all your ways. On their hands they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will walk upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion. Let's go back to that real quick. I'm sorry, John. You will walk upon the lion and cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. So who is that? That's the enemy. The enemy goes about, what it says, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. We know the serpent, the enemy, a cobra. You will walk upon. Does it say walk upon? Ow. Walk upon. Can you see in your mind walking on top of a cobra? It gives you the willies a little bit, huh? But that's a detail of us walking over the enemy in our lives. It really, this isn't a fairy tale. It's not a cute little story. It's not a nursery rhyme. These are called the promises of God. And it says the promises of God are yes and amen. Because he has loved me, I will save him. That's God talking to you and I. I will set him securely on high. We're seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. Hallelujah. I will rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with a long life. Back up again. Let's say 16 again. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Is that the last verse? Isn't there any more, John? Is that it, John? That was so good. I could just go on with that. Keep going, just reading his word. I remember some time ago when we had the Bible college here, and I remember we were, I forget what subject it was, but Tom Shaw just got up, and I just remember it was just certain precious times during that Bible school where the Holy Spirit just really ministered to us. And he just started reading the scripture. He wasn't teaching mode. He wasn't explanation. He just started reading the word. And I just remember this, the presence of God there as he just simply read his life-giving word. How powerful is his word? Just reading that with you today, just it's an encouragement to me, reminding me of the promises of God. Lord, we thank you for reminding us through the week of the promises of God. We thank you that the promises of God bring in us peace, bringing us strength, bringing liberty. Amen. Amen. I want to go back real quick, and I want to read from Luke 6, 1 through 5. We're going to get ready to take communion together. Doesn't that sound awesome? And Jesus answered them, saying, "Have you not even read that what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest alone, and gave it to his companions, and he was saying to them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.'" See, it was on the Sabbath day, and the disciples were taking from ears of, I think, was it wheat or whatever, I'm not sure, and they were eating it from their hand. And the religious leaders are saying, "Hey, it's the Sabbath day. You can't be doing that." And Jesus reminding them that he is the living bread. Even that example, I didn't read about it, but where David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of the Lord, and they gave him the consecrated bread that only the priest could eat. Only, and Jesus said that it was only for the priest, but it's an example of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the living bread. Jesus is the living bread. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. What Christ was saying now, that said, "Hey, I have come to destroy sin. I've come to destroy the works of the enemy. You can walk in rest now." Back then, you had to, Sabbath day, you couldn't do any work. If you did, you were killed, it says. It says, if anybody works on the Sabbath, they're to be killed. They're to be stoned. But Jesus come and saying, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the one that's fulfilled the law. I am the one that brings rest." Now every day, every walking minute, every breath, you can be reminded of what he's done for you. Every minute of every day, not just on Sunday, you can remind yourself with fellowship with the Holy Spirit of what he has accomplished for you and I. Walking in rest every day of the week, not just on Sunday. Walking on rest, especially on Monday. Walking in rest on hump day Wednesday. Walking in rest on Saturday, coming into the house of the Lord and walking in his rest. He fulfilled the law. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the only one that can bring rest to you and I. He doesn't want us to pursue rest someday in heaven. He wants us to walk in rest right now. Even in the middle of what David was going through, that example of him eating the bread, the consecrated bread, the only consecrated one that could give his life for you and I was Jesus Christ. Jesus brought that up as David was running from the enemy, the bread of life, saying, even in the midst of his battle, "David, I've got you here. I'm protecting you. The enemy can't have you. The enemy can't have your health. The enemy can't have your finances. The enemy can't have your marriage." What is it? I mean, you fill in the blank of the promises of God. "The enemy can't have my children. The enemy can't have my grandchildren. He can't have my parents. The enemy can't have my nation." You fill in the blank, brother and sister. During this time, you and I, as we take communion today, you think about what David went through, that he still heard his voice, and he still had peace in his life. He was showing people the peace of God when he was the only one that had it. He had the discouraged. He had those that are in debt. Maybe today you feel like you're carrying a load of debt of sin. This is what you do. You say, "Jesus, I believe you're God. I believe your blood was shed for my sins. Lord, let your blood wash my sins away. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Fill me. Lord, I give my life to you to lead me. Lord, lead me. That's all you, it's that simple. The just shall live by faith. What did it say? The just shall live by faith. Believing in him for our sins. Believing in him for our struggles. Believing in him even as we stand up for this nation. It's going to be him to turn it around. God mocks at those who think they can devise plans against him. He laughs. He's a belly laugh probably. That's funny. The mind of man, God who would make up a God in his own mind, God laughs at that. Father, we thank you that you love us. We're going to take communion, but if the worship team can come, and if you don't mind, Caleb, if it can be real soft in the background, the music. Father, we thank you for being our rest today. We thank you for being our peace today. We thank you that people that we come in contact with us will see something in them and saying, you know what? I don't know what it is about you, but I want that. Whatever's bringing you peace during this difficult time, I want that. Whatever is allowing you to walk without anxiety 24/7, I want that. Whatever it is in you, that strength that I see in you, confidence, I want that. There's a lot of people out there that were like David's men, the discontented, in debt, dissatisfied with life. Let's make sure that we're giving him the gospel. Let's make sure that we're giving them the truth. Let's make sure that we're bringing him into the kingdom of God, bringing him into his kingdom. Come, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today, as we take communion, I want to mention this. If you know Christ as your Savior, and you're in a struggle, you need to take communion today. I was raised that when they passed communion, I said, I can't take that. I've got sin in my life. I've got a struggle. And the misinterpreting that whole chapter in Corinthians about what Paul was talking about when they were getting together for a meal. They were drunk. They were showing off their spiritual abilities to one another, trying to prove who was the best, who was the most righteous, who was the most anointed. To the point where Paul said, you're getting together is for the worse. You're better off not even getting together. You're actually working for the enemy. That's what he was talking about. If you're here and that's you, you need to say, Lord Jesus, because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Because of the blood, it's only because of your blood can the bondage in my life be broken. Take this with an expectation today, actually. Take it with an eagerness. After we're released from service, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and you would like me to pray with you or pray with others that are up here, would you please come up here? We'd be happy to pray with you to lead you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Everything you've been longing for or expecting, I'm telling you, he's the answer. Absolutely. So if you can work this thing, you might need some patience and prayer. You bend that little tab and this will open the top and you get this element. It's not a cracker. What do you call that? A wafer. Thank you. Thank you, Herb or Russ. Thank you. See, this right here, there's no, what we're taking here, there's no special power in this. But what it is, it's a reminder, really, of the promises of God. It's a reminder of what he's accomplished for us. Amen. It says to do this in remembrance of his death, what his death accomplished for you and I, until he returns again. And it says we're to encourage one another with this. So in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, through 26, it says, this is, Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed took bread.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for the bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's take it together. Verse 25, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink that together. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can pass that down to the middle, the end of the aisle, they'll pick the empty element up. Amen. Is there a song we can sing? Can we stand up together? We're gonna just sing a song together and. I just want to say, just go back to that one scripture before we're dismissed. In 1 Samuel 3:1, it said, And the youth Samuel serving Jehovah before Eli. And the word of Jehovah had been precious in those days. There was no vision broken forth. His body was broken for us. Amen. It's been broken forth that you and I can hear his voice. Amen? Not through a priest, not through a pastor, but that he speaks to us directly. Amen. Aren't you glad he was broken for you? Father, we ask as we go into this week, Lord, we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your healing touch, Father God. We thank you for the joy of the Lord. We thank you for the supernatural. And we thank you for those that we come across that, Father God, that are broken, discontented. The men and women that follow were like David. We still have them today, Father God. May they see something in us that we can lead them to you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, aren't you glad you came to the house of the Lord? Amen. Woo-hoo. Amen.